It's time for the Brandon Groover News Hour, sponsored by Elite Home Health, a radio show where all viewpoints are respected. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
Okay, gang, what's up? We have a new co-host today. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Brandon, how's it going?
It's good, good, good to be here. Good to have you, my brother, and right across from me, with the Mark Zuckerberg look, is Doug Wilder. What's up, Doug?
Hey, how are you doing there, Brandon?
Doing pretty good. Well, how's life in the fast lane, Doug?
Things are going very fast.
Fast is good.
Boy, I tell you, things are going great business-wise and socially. Mm-hmm. And just got back from the leadership trip. What was that, a week last week?
You look very leaderish.
Yeah, that's what we do. That's what we do. So there's three simple principles for leadership. No, I don't want to get into all that, but
give us the principles real quick.
Three principles. First one is be mission-driven and how each person in your tribe fits into that mission. Mm-hmm. The second one is macromanage, not micromanage. Mm-hmm. So that macromanage means you're going to say what are the resources, the time, money, people, and maybe the standards.
By laissez-faire.
Right, but you let people decide as much as they can on their own.
Right.
Then the third thing is to create a happy work environment, because happy employees are more engaged. More engaged employees are more productive. More productive employees are much more profitable.
I think if those three creeds were used nationwide, we might be in a better pickle than what we are today.
I love it.
Okay, now, folks, you all know on this show we normally speak our mind. We're not scripted. So I may say some stuff today that you disagree with, but that's why it's a free country. You can call back and push back. But I think I'm right. Okay, so on today's show, we will discuss the latest update on the debt ceiling debacle. We will also review the findings of the Facebook whistleblower that highlights the sinister role social media companies are playing in America, in our families, and globally. Now to the debt debacle. I watched Hannity last night, and I listened to President Trump. He attacked Mitch McConnell and called him weak. While Trump was a strong president, diplomacy was not his strong suit. He is a man from the private sector, which has many pros. He was pragmatic and bold. He gave us a vaccine in 3 years earlier than predicted, and he pushed prison reform. However, President Trump is not good at the Washington game. On this show, we warned him on several times not to fall into traps, which he did. Now, check this out. Let's talk about Mitch McConnell for a second. If Mitch McConnell had not stalled the debt ceiling, the Democrats would have automatically moved to pass the infrastructure bill and the $5 trillion infrastructure bill. Anyone who says that he should have allowed the country to default on the debt and not pay Social Security or Medicare payments, they don't know politics. And I'll tell you why I say that. You got two senators, Serna out in Arizona.
Yeah.
I always say her name wrong. And Manchin.
Mm-hmm.
Just let's play it forward. Let's imagine America on October 18th, military checks stop going out. So you think about this. When the debt ceiling goes out, 40% of the government's money is borrowed. And all that money is spent when it hits the hand, right? So the Pentagon would have been obsolete. You're in a pandemic. You can't shut down the CDC during a COVID crisis. And then on top of that, you got to figure out, are you going to pay the national debt, which will kill the currency if we don't pay it? So then if you don't pay these Social Security benefits and these Medicare and these physicians turn patients away for not having Medicare claim or Medicare benefits, you know what would have happened? Those same people, that angry majority would have put pressure on Manchin and the lady whose name I always mess up from Arizona, and they would have killed the filibuster. No filibuster, then guess what that means? Anything the Democrats want to push through, they can go at it. That human infrastructure bill, that $5 trillion bill we talk about, if you look at that bill, there's a climate change amendment in there. And what they want to do is they want to pay American utility companies to go green. Now, that may sound harmless, but if you take a look at what's going on in Europe, the UK, and also what happened in Texas. Remember in Texas when they had that freak cold snap and it froze the wind turbines?
Sure.
You had people in America dying because they were frozen in their home. They turned into human popsicles in the United States. And that's what happens when you move away from oil and gas, because oil and gas are the only form, and nuclear, which we are afraid of, but those are the only three forms of energy that are reliable. The sun doesn't always shine.
Right.
The wind doesn't always blow. So if we move this country away from, you know, reliable energy, we're going to have real problems. You want to jump in, Doug?
No, I think that Sinema.
I always miss that name.
Yeah, right? No, me too.
Call it S.
Yeah. Senator S. Yeah, okay, so.
S, ma'am.
Yeah, so what was passed last night was what?
It was a $400 billion increase, because the United States, our budget deficit is $1.2 trillion. Mm-hmm. So if you dice it up into quarters, that is enough money to run to cover the deficit for the final quarter. So that's no new spending. That's none of President Biden's, I try to be respectable. None of President Biden's, you know, that infrastructure bill, that human infrastructure bill, the $5 trillion, that will not be in there. That's just to keep the government running as it was, you know, today.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no new spending programs in there. And also, if you look at what McConnell did as well, it's not very easy to... Okay, so put it like this. The Republicans were saying, President Trump was saying, oh, they should have not helped the Democrats. Well, guess what? It takes about 3 to 4 weeks to come up with a bill. So just say if the Democrats said, okay, McConnell, we'll do it on our own. To go through reconciliation, you have to first get the parliamentarian who has to say whether or not it's legal. You have to send it to the CBO who has to score the bills to determine how much the bills cost. And then you go back for a final vote after you go through 12 different committees in Congress, right? So there was no way possible to get this done by October 18th.
I heard Ted Cruz talk. I guess it was either last night or this morning, and he was saying that there really was time.
This is the same Ted Cruz who was going to overturn the election. Ted Cruz is saying anything in front of the microphone. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying. But, I mean, there was no way, because there was no way that they could have used, because with reconciliation, you have to pass it in both houses. You have to pass the exact identical bill. That's hard to do. And we don't know if it's legal to do that. Through the parliamentarian has to give an approval. So it's a waiting process. So there was no way. The Senate passed it on last night. The House has to vote on it, you know, next week. And that's if the progressives and Pelosi can't lose three votes. If she loses three votes on her side, it's out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that clean.
Right. So you're saying that all that was passed was just allowing the government to continue for up and through
December 3rd.
So none of the big spending bills were passed.
No. And another thing too, the reason Mitch McConnell said that that the Republicans were not going to help the Democrats, you know, with a long term fix to this, is because what they want the Democrats to do is to own this.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have a commercial break coming up, but they want the Democrats to own it, because when they believe that when all this inflation hits, they're going to blame the Democrats for it.
Mm-hmm.
So the Democrats don't want to do this alone, because they know if they pass it alone and blow up the deficit and do all this crazy stuff and the inflation, you know, goes rampant, then they're going to have to own it.
Right. So it wasn't that damaging.
No.
What was done.
No.
So we should calm down.
Calm down.
Take a
Ambien. We're going to be okay. Okay. So we have a commercial break coming up. We, you know, Pepsi is a sponsor, so they love a little shout out.
We'll take a Pepsi break.
Yes, yes. I spike my Pepsi.
Ah, good.
Frito-Lay has been a proud part of the Florida community for over 60 years. Their team produces some of America's favorite snacks, including Lay's potato chips, Doritos, and Cheetos. Today, the local Frito-Lay job site provides jobs for approximately 375 full-time associates. And the company is looking to grow the team and is hiring right now for a variety of positions. Frito-Lay's benefits include a retirement plan, 401k, health care, paid vacation, and more. Pay ranges from $17.62 to $33 per hour with room for advancement. Join the team at FritoLayEmployment.com. That's FritoLayEmployment.com. PepsiCo and its Frito-Lay division are an equal opportunity employer. Female, minority, disability, protected veteran, sexual orientation, gender identity.
Let's get back to the Brandon Groover News Hour, sponsored by Elite Home Health. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
Okay, folks, if you want to join the conversation, or if you just like hearing my voice, it's cool. But 904-831-0600. Once again, 904-831-0600. Okay, Doug, you got anything before I continue down memory lane?
No, let's go down. Let's go take it from there.
Okay, cool. So if we continue, McConnell, like I said, the ball is back in the Democrats' court. Instead of the Democrats trying to figure out how to pass the infrastructure bill through reconciliation versus trying to pass the $3.5 or $5 trillion plan that I think would be a disaster if you put those climate change things in there. They can't do that now because they have to now focus on how they're going to, you know, raise the debt ceiling on their own and fund the government. Mm-hmm. So that's a full-time job by itself.
Okay. So you don't think they're going to get that passed? Are they going to break it apart? Then they can do the infrastructure bill and then the grandiose infrastructure bill.
But the problem with the infrastructure bill, the Republicans already passed it in the Senate. So it needs to go to the House. But you have progressives in the Democratic Party who are saying that they won't pass it unless it's accompanied by the $3.5 or $5 trillion bill. Mm-hmm. So like I said, Pelosi had to pull that bill back. I think last week. But if the House went ahead and passed the infrastructure bill, it would pass. But you have to figure out how you're going to pay for it because the increase in the debt ceiling does not cover the money for the infrastructure. So then they would have to go back to the Republicans to raise the debt ceiling again because you can't raise the debt ceiling unless you got 60 votes.
So
they're in a pickle.
Yeah. So how are they going to, what do you think is going to happen?
This is what I think is going to happen. I think they're going to, pass the infrastructure bill because you got to pass the infrastructure because the highway trust fund is in that bill.
The lower one.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the 1.2, right? Now, what I think they'll end up doing with the 3.5 or 5 point whatever, these numbers are, who's counting?
Yeah.
Trillion here, trillion here, you know, we got. All right. But I think what they won't be able, because Joe Manchin is refusing that the crazy stuff. So you may end up with just, you know, some free pre-K, you know, some universal college and, you know, allowing senior citizens to get dentures and hearing aids, which I'm not opposed to if you keep it at that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not the worst. I mean, you got to remember the Republicans are not in power. So you can't expect them to control the flow because you have to win elections. They don't have, the Democrats have the White House, the Senate, and the House of Representatives. So the Democrats are going to govern. I mean, Trump, mm-hmm. President Trump pushed through his agenda, you know, when he had the Congress and Nancy Pelosi sat there. She raised sandwich. You really can't stop. You really can't bring a president down, you know, unilaterally. You can slow down the agenda. Mm-hmm. But anybody who thinks you can just make a president take a knee, bend the knee, they don't know the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So but what the Republicans can do is slow down the train enough, put a bunch of speed bumps in the road and to hope that they can win by one of those House or the Senate. I put my money on the Senate.
Wow. Okay. So
this is the is the pragmatic show. This ain't Sean Hannity.
Pragmatic you are.
Right.
Good. So you're thinking everything is going going pretty well right now.
Not as a whole. You know, when the President Biden's poll numbers are low. I think he has the lowest polling of any president since World War II.
Wow.
Maybe he was one of the he's up creek without a doubt.
Right. So
it ain't looking good for Joe.
No. And what that means is then he loses. People don't follow him.
Right.
I understand he's not campaigning for the Virginia. In the Virginia campaign for the Democratic candidate.
He's kryptonite or whatever the opposite of kryptonite.
That's right. So he's not campaigning, and apparently his calls don't really work too well in Congress.
No. You know something I want to say, though? And this is off topic. I don't think, I hear a lot of people say that he's incompetent because of the way he talked. The guy has a speech impediment. So I think, he has a bad stuttering problem. So, I think folk may want to, we don't pick on sick people.
No.
I'm just saying, I just threw that out. Not saying you were doing it.
No. Personally,
No, not you, but I'm watching President Trump and Hannity last night.
Right.
And they said the guy couldn't finish a sentence. The guy has a speech impediment.
Sure. I can't finish a sentence either. But then I'm not president.
Right.
Or running for president.
Right. You speak pretty well, Doug.
Close.
Right. We just try to keep it fair and balanced over here.
Good. Well, good. Yeah. So I think you've got the debt ceiling debacle pretty well covered then.
Okay. And another thing, since we got President Trump's ear, President Trump, what is he thinking about going after Brian Kemp in Georgia?
Yeah. Well, I don't think that they got along at the end anyway. So I think that he would much prefer to have somebody that would be a supporter.
Well, what if Brian Kemp wins? Because what I noticed about President Trump, remember he attacked John Roberts on the Supreme Court before the election? I think when you make, my mother always told us, you catch more honey, and when you catch more bees with honey than vinegar.
Sure.
President Trump, you're making a gamble. Because if Brian Kemp wins his election, do you think he's going to stick his neck out to help him in the event something nefarious takes place in 2020, 2024?
If he's a bigger man, in other words, if he's looking out for the country or for his state, then yes, he will. Just because you have to understand that Donald Trump, regardless.
President.
That's true. Thank you. President.
No, he'll cancel us.
President Donald Trump. Even though he, most of his policies and they worked and he was very effective as a president. He also was very, very coarse and difficult to work with. But I think those people who elected him knew that he was not a Boy Scout. I mean, he was going to be tough.
Right, the people, but not the officials. Because I think a lot of Republicans allowed President Trump to. They could have. That election could have been swung.
Yeah, but look at this.
In 2020.
Ted Cruz was personally attacked, and his wife was attacked by Donald Trump. Okay, there were comments that were made, and at first Ted Cruz did not forgive him.
Right.
But later on, Ted Cruz was saying, "No, he's a great president."
That's because the guy has character. But what I'm saying is, I think that you had some. This is my opinion. I think the status quo Republicans would rather would have Trump, I'm sorry, they would rather have Joe Biden in office than Trump. I tell you why. Republicans aren't for tariffs. Trump is for tariffs. The Republicans are not really for, President Trump, did the First Step Act, prison reform. Republicans aren't really for that. So I think the Republican Party, if you look at the establishment Republican Party, I think they would rather have a Democrat than President Trump. They just won't say it. Swamp.
Yeah, I think there's some, definitely, Liz Cheney.
Yeah, but I'm saying, if you look at the 2020 election, there was things that they could have done that could have made things kind of went. I mean, Trump had no help. It was like it's stolen. Everybody was like,
You
know,
Well, they didn't want to be taken off.
They were like, call your mama.
They didn't want to be taken off Facebook.
Right. But but I'm just saying they could have done more. But we have Keith in the queue.
Oh, good.
Jump in, Keith.
I'm a registered Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
I heard you say that the only reliable energy was fossil fuels.
Correct.
And I'm wondering what Republicans would think about having the main source of energy green, like wind turbines and solar, and then having fossil fuels as a backup, just in case something went wrong, like in Texas, you could just turn to your backup, and you have what you need.
Yeah, but you know, it makes sense in a way. But remember, in Texas, you know, it took time to get that thing kicked on. You know, we had people like who literally died because it was too cold.
I know, that's what I'm saying. So, like, if your wind turbines and stuff don't work, what if you had your fossil fuels as a backup so that if your wind turbines don't work, then you just kick on your generators or your, you know, and have fossil fuels as a backup?
But
I don't know. What do Republicans think about that?
But
I'm going to hang up.
Okay, thank you, Keith. What I think about from a pragmatic point, right, if a product isn't selling, folks aren't going to produce it. So let's just say, you know, the power grid went under. That energy supply will not be on ready because it's not profitable for folk to do it. You see what I'm saying? And then power grids go out all over the country. So let's just say if the pipeline that supplies the natural gas is on the East Coast, and let's say something happens out in California. You see what I'm saying? So you won't be able to, you can't transmit energy. The grid is not connected that way. You see what I'm saying, Doug?
I thought it was connected to us. You know, for instance, if Florida loses power, we can go to Georgia Power and bring it in and vice versa. But I don't know why in Texas they weren't connected to the outside grid.
Because you have separate independent energy companies. We don't have a national grid.
Yeah, but we do have connections between the independents. For instance, we sell power to Florida Power and Light,
right.
JEA does,
right,
and vice versa.
But so, Florida Power Light is in St. Augustine, right,
okay,
across the line.
Right, that's right.
Try to get that power to Miami.
Right.
You may overrun the system.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I don't know. I'd love for somebody to call in and say why was it that Texas was so isolated.
What I'll do, I'll try to call Chris.
Yeah.
Our energy guy from out west, and he make an opine.
That'd be great to
know. So I'll try to call him when we hit the next commercial break.
Yeah.
Okay, gang. And thank you, Keith, for calling in. Okay. Okay, so let's go to the 60 Minutes clip.
Yeah.
This is something we can all be mad about.
Right.
You know, this is something that Democrats can be mad about, Republicans can be mad about. If you look at this, if you saw the 60 Minutes clip.
Do we have a time for it?
We only got 5 minutes. Okay, a minute and a half. Okay, cool. So I'll just
why don't you just set it up?
Okay, I set it up. You got the ball, Doug?
Yeah, here we go.
Okay, tee it up for me.
Choo!
Okay, cool. Okay, so now let's move to social media. 60 Minutes did an interview with a Facebook whistleblower who showed how destructive these social media companies are for society at large. If you are a parent, I would advise against children having social media pages. I'm not trying to tell you about vaccines. I'm just saying. But this is something I think we can talk about. I would advise against parents allowing their children to be on social media. It causes self-esteem issues, suicide issues, unrealistic expectations. Basically, social media companies are causing us to manufacture little social paths. So we'll talk about it on the clip.
I love it.
Yeah. Let's ban Facebook. Break it up.
You just got banned.
Yep. Bye, Zuckerberg.
AM 600 and 101.1 FM. the conservative voice of Jacksonville, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Russian authorities have labeled 9 more journalists and 3 media organizations as foreign agents, part of official efforts to sideline critics just as a Russian journalist won the 2021 Nobel Peace Prize. Dmitry Muratov and fellow journalist Maria Ressa of the Philippines won the prize Friday for their fight for freedom of expression. Many in Russia had hoped that the award would restrain the authorities' crackdown on critical media outlets. But hours after the prize announcement, Russia's Justice Ministry added another 9 journalists and 3 entities to its lists of foreign agents, a label that carries strong pejorative connotations and implies increased official scrutiny. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 8 points, the Nasdaq dropped 74, the S&P 500 lower by 8, crude oil up to $79.48 a barrel. This is SRN News.
News on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Good day, I'm Patrick Johnson. A crash in Columbia County left a teenager dead, several other teenagers hurt. This happened Thursday night. The Highway Patrol says a car with 5 teens went off the road and struck a tree. Troopers say the car overturned multiple times, throwing a 15-year-old passenger out of the car. That passenger died at the scene. Another 15-year-old was seriously hurt. FHP said the 15-year-old driver and 2 other 17-year-old passengers suffered minor injuries. The State Board of Education finding 8 Florida school districts, including Duval County, to be in defiance of a state law banning mask mandates. State Education Commissioner Richard Corcoran said statistics show forced masking in schools has no impact.
Cases of ages 5 to 17 in opt-out or no policy counties have decreased an average of 79.4% from Friday, September 1st to Friday, September 29th. Meanwhile, cases in counties with no opt-out have decreased 76.5%.
That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
U.S. 17 northbound is congested from the Main Street Bridge out to Yellow Bluff Road. 95 is heavy in both directions from the Fuller Warren Bridge to Lem Turner. And volume's picking up now on Old St. Augustine Road between San Jose Boulevard and Greenland Road. Showers and thunderstorms overnight, a low near 70. For the weekend, a mix of sun and clouds and a high both days, 85.
The American Freedom Tour is coming to Jacksonville. I'm Dean Black, chairman of the Republican Party of Duval County, and it's time for Republicans to get motivated and defend freedom. 2 historic days, Friday and Saturday, October 8th and 9th, come see Donald Trump Jr., Kayleigh McEnany, Dan Bongino, Dinesh D'Souza, and many, many more. Get your tickets now at DuvalGOP.com. I will see you there.
This is Chris from Hangar Bay Cafe. My restaurant specializes in Japanese ramen and southern fried chicken. Truth to be told, we're a military-themed hole in the wall near Mayport Naval Base. Southern Living, Insider, and Eat This Not That websites rated our chicken best in Florida, 2019, 2020, and 2021. Join us for lunch or dinner at 2294 Mayport Road and check out our menu at hangarbaycafe.com.
To bypass the CNNs and the MSNBCs, to bypass the New York Times and the Washington Post, ABC and NBC and CBS. There's some fellow conservatives out there who are very troubled by this. They haven't even acknowledged what just took place. It's okay. They'll learn to understand. It's not about personality. It's about liberty. That's our watchword, liberty. And I'm very excited about this.
Mark Levin on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Let's get back to the Brandon Groover News Hour, sponsored by Elite Home Health. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
Okay, gang, welcome back. Marty, I see you, but I have Chris from the Elite Opportunity Fund, which is a oil and gas company, and we want to answer Keith's question about why the United States can't go green but have oil and gas or nuclear as a backup source. Are you there, Chris?
Yes, I am.
What's up, Chris? Long time no chat. What's up, my man?
Oh, it's all good.
We're just enjoying our cheap electricity prices down here in Texas. How are y'all?
We're doing pretty good up here in Florida. We got pretty washed out with water today. But Chris, I know you're driving, and thank you for jumping in. Doug has a question, and then you can answer that question I threw at you.
Yeah, there was.
Sure.
Keith had a question about, you know, how do you take care of the Texans when, you know, how can you have a backup? And I was wondering, why can't you just have electricity shipped in from some neighboring state to the Texans that were without electricity? What's up with that?
Texas has a free market in electricity, and so as a result, we have some of the lowest prices in the entire country and in the entire world. And because we run a completely free market, that worked great. And, of course, a lot of industries want to come here because of our cheap electricity prices and our availability of feedstocks, energy feedstocks. But what happened in February was that there was a lot of green initiatives. Basically, this is a green energy, green agenda crisis, not a green energy crisis. In February, the windmills froze. First off, when it gets cold, the wind doesn't blow, so the windmills are out. And if it's at night, obviously the sun doesn't shine, so there's no electricity from solar or wind. So the supply of electricity dropped suddenly as a result of the wind stopping and the windmills freezing. And then also the green energy folks, we have to compress our natural gas on our pipelines to move it. So it's at a certain pressure at the well, but to move it in a pipeline, you have to compress it to a high pressure. And in the past, those compressors were powered by natural gas on site. But in order to save, to reduce CO2 emissions, they were switched to electric compressors.
Gotcha.
And no.
The electricity grid shut them down as part of the commercial load shutdowns. So it was a very poorly, that in particular was tragic, the fact that the compressors went down because they shut the electricity off to them. But the part about the intermittent energy sources such as solar and wind, once you get over about 20%, the grid can be unstable when certain weather events happen. And, of course, they've gone to over 30% in the United Kingdom, and that's why they're paying some of the most incredible prices and potentially shutting down to a three-day work week over there because of their policies relying on those intermittent sources.
Gotcha. So in a nutshell, I also know, too, from my limited experience in the energy market, that the battery life is not, the battery technology is not there to hold. I think in California, for a nutshell, they only have capacity to store energy for less than an hour. So if power goes out, based on current technology, you got like an hour of energy and that's it. And is that correct because of battery technology?
Oh, right. And of course, energy's supremely difficult to store.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, and obviously battery technology is not caught up. And, of course, there's nothing about the batteries that's green at all.
Right.
That's sort of the sad part.
Right. And you know something, Chris, and I thank you for calling in. I know it was short notice. But if you look at what's happening in Europe right now, the United Kingdom, I think in some parts of continental Europe, these places have went dark because they don't have energy because of freak phenomenons like what happened in Texas. So, like in this country, you don't know what you have until you lose it. And I like having AC when it's hot in Florida.
Well, and of course, when they talk about the earth and the green stuff, that's fine. But the question is, are we more in peril from our climate? How do we use energy now? We mainly use energy. One of the largest uses is to control our climate.
Right.
Keep people from freezing to death. Keep
right.
people from
heat strokes in Florida.
Heat stroke.
And if you'll look at the number of climate-related fatalities since 1900, they've gone consistently down.
Right.
Consistently down.
Right.
So we have controlled our environment. We've controlled our climate. And then now the question is, do we want to keep the Earth the way it is? Because it's never been, you know, anyway, those are all bigger questions. But it's not a question of going green or not. It's a question of trade-offs and investment and who's going to pay.
Right.
And that's really it. But when you get over 20%, 20 to 30%, you're going to start having trouble. You've got to have a base load. And every time you convert heat to electricity or electricity to heat or put electricity in a power line, you know, if you put electricity on a power line, you lose about 40% through resistance. So every time you change energy in form, you lose energy. And so that's one of the problems. So basically we're just trying to take some energy that we could use and then we convert it into electricity to put in our car. Mm-hmm. But we've lost a whole lot in between.
Well, Chris, I thank you, my man. And I want to say this here in closing. Thank you, Chris. But I would like to say as well, I forgot what I was going to say. It was good, too. what I was going to say is it's funny how these people are talking about, you know, going green, right? When you go green and put these mandates, all you do is ship supply or production from America to China with their own coal. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So, like, all this climate, like Apple. Apple is in California. They claim to be a green company. But you make your iPhones in China. So, you know, we know that the cleanest place on the planet to produce anything is in America because our grid is on natural gas, which is way cleaner, which is way less toxic, low CO2 than any place on this earth. But you have all these folks that want to do all this regulating and you want to put the brakes on gas. All Apple and these other companies, you know, when you go out and this is why you can't get your stuff for Christmas because all your stuff is from China. You know what I'm saying? You got, you know, all this backlog on cars and all this stuff is from China. So good luck. You know, you're in a global economy. It doesn't work if you say, America, thou must go this way when you're buying all the product from overseas. So, and guess what? Dirt travels, pollution travels. If you buy more product from China, you're still killing the environment. So it makes no sense. Okay, but I'm done preaching. I don't get paid by the Koch brothers. They can sponsor if they want to. So we're going to take Marty, and then thank you, Chris. We're going to take Marty, and then I'll just give you all an Easter speech about Facebook, and we can play that next week because we are almost out of time. Jump in, Marty.
All right. It's always a pleasure to hear your program. And like I said, I agree with you most of the time. I want to disagree with Keith, and he was a little bit simplistic. First of all, he's leaving out of the equation what they call biodiesel. You know what biodiesel is, right, Brandon?
Mm-hmm.
And they had a guy years ago was featured in the St. Augustine Record that he was getting grease from restaurants, and he was converting it into biodiesel. Now, biodiesel is not fossil fuel. It's made from discarded food, number one. Number two, I want to tell everybody, I know everybody in the world listens to you because you WBOB punches out a huge signal.
Right.
The king of New York, de Blasio, was saying that by a certain year, he wants to have everybody riding electric vehicles. Let me tell you something. Are you familiar with the town of Hastings, Brandon?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Hastings is between St. Augustine and East Palatka,
yep.
And I've never. I'm not saying everybody's poor, but I've never seen so much poverty as when I came down here. The people who are poor are not going to be buying a Tesla. They may buy a car that gets a range of 50 miles. Some of these original, I forgot if it's the Leaf.
Keep going, Marty. You got a minute?
Okay. So in other words, it's a con game, and I want to blame everybody who voted for Biden. It's like somebody who hires a hitman, and the hitman does the murder, but you're still guilty. Everybody who voted for Biden is guilty, not Biden. He's just incompetent.
Wow.
Well, thank you, Marty. And Marty, and I think with Keith, he was kind of trying to get some common sense between what the Democrats are saying and where we're going. So I think he was coming from a good place. And thank you, Marty.
Just look up biodiesel, all right?
Yeah, well, I'll check it out. So let's go to a commercial break. Thank you, Marty. Thank you, Keith. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Tom. We got a commercial.
Frito-Lay has been a proud part of the Florida community for over 60 years. Their team produces some of America's favorite snacks, including Lay's potato chips, Doritos, and Cheetos. Today, the local Frito-Lay job site provides jobs for approximately 375 full-time associates. And the company is looking to grow the team and is hiring right now for a variety of positions. Frito-Lay's benefits include a retirement plan, 401k, health care, paid vacation, and more. Pay ranges from $17.62 to $33 per hour with room for advancement. Join the team at FritoLayEmployment.com. That's FritoLayEmployment.com. PepsiCo and its Frito-Lay division are an equal opportunity employer. Female, minority, disability, protected veteran, sexual orientation, gender identity.
Let's get back to the Brandon Groover NewsHour, sponsored by Elite Home Health. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
Welcome back to Happy Hour, where every day is a happy day. Okay, so Tom, is that a caller coming in, Tom?
No.
Okay,
no.
So Tom, let's run a little bit of that whistleblower from Facebook, and then we'll ride it out until it's time to go home.
Her name is Frances Haugen. That is a fact that Facebook has been anxious to know since last month when an anonymous former employee filed complaints with federal law enforcement. The complaints say Facebook's own research shows that it amplifies hate, misinformation, and political unrest, but the company hides what it knows. One complaint alleges that Facebook's Instagram harms teenage girls. What makes Haugen's complaints unprecedented is the trove of private Facebook research she took when she quit in May. The documents appeared first last month in the Wall Street Journal, but tonight, Frances Haugen is revealing her identity to explain why she became the Facebook whistleblower.
The story will continue in a moment.
The thing I saw at Facebook over and over again was there were conflicts of interest between what was good for the public and what was good for Facebook. And Facebook over and over again chose to optimize for its own interests, like making more money.
Frances Haugen is 37, a data scientist from Iowa, with a degree in computer engineering and a Harvard master's degree in business. For 15 years, she's worked for companies including Google and Pinterest.
I've seen a bunch of social networks, and it was substantially worse at Facebook than anything I'd seen before.
You know, someone else might have just quit and moved on. And I wonder why you take this stand.
Imagine you know what's going on inside of Facebook, and you know no one on the outside knows. I knew what my future looked like if I continued to stay inside of Facebook, which is person after person after person has tackled this inside of Facebook and ground themselves to the ground.
When and how did it occur to you to take all of these documents out of the company?
At some point in 2021, I realized, okay, I'm going to have to do this in a systemic way, and I have to get out enough that no one can question that this is real.
She secretly copied tens of thousands of pages of Facebook internal research. She says evidence shows that the company is lying to the public about making significant progress against hate, violence, and misinformation. One study she found from this year says, "We estimate that we may action as little as 3 to 5% of hate and about 0.6% of violence and incitement on Facebook, despite being the best in the world at it." To quote from another one of the documents you brought out, "We have evidence from a variety of sources that hate speech, divisive political speech, and misinformation on Facebook and the family of apps are affecting societies around the world."
When we live in an information environment that is full of angry, hateful, polarizing content, it erodes our civic trust, it erodes our faith in each other, It erodes our ability to want to care for each other. The version of Facebook that exists today is tearing our societies apart and causing ethnic violence.
Okay, let me jump in for a minute. Hold it, whistleblower. Okay, let me jump in for a minute because we only have 10 minutes left. And like I said, we're going to do this again next week. We kind of went long-winded on the Trump stuff. But my wife and I, we have conversations. And I always tell her, be careful when you look at social media, because social media gives a tainted view. The only thing that shows up on social media is the crazy stuff, the outlandish stuff, people who are out here acting a plum fool, you know, the sexual predators. And I was telling her, we live in a country today where we're afraid of each other. People are afraid to get babysitters because, oh, I got to get a background check. Let me tell you this. If you look at Jacksonville, I think in the whole metropolitan area, we may have a 1,000 sexual predators, if that.
Something like that.
Out of a million people. Mm-hmm. But we are so paranoid because the media, all they show us is sexual predator, kidnapping, this and this, and this and this, mm-hmm. that and that, and this person. So that causes a slanted view of society. And if you believe that everybody in this world is bad, most people in this world are bad, that's really sad. Mm-hmm. Because God put us here together because we need each other. You see what I'm saying?
That's
so,
right.
So, and also, another thing that she pointed out was that prior to the election, remember when the Hunter Biden stuff was knocked off Facebook about the laptop, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Facebook was clamping down certain stuff. This lady pointed out that after the election, Facebook phased out all of the anti-hate stuff, like the stuff that causes people to go crazy and want to, you know, that Hillary Clinton is killing babies, the election was stolen, let's cite the Capitol. All those safeguards were taken down by Mark Zuckerberg, you know, right after the election. So that is why, you had news reports that showed you had 50 threats to hit capitals across the country. Mm. How is that? Social media.
Yeah, so one of the things you're saying is that if you look for the bad, as Abraham Lincoln said, if you look for the bad in people, you will surely find it.
Right, seeking you shall find.
That's right. And so so you start to get a jaundiced view that everybody's evil.
Right, because with Facebook, in order to get, like Facebook, and she's going to show this next week. If you have millions and millions of posts on Facebook, but the only thing you see are negative stuff, because if you're negative, negative items get a higher view. So when you're scrolling through your phone, you're not going to scroll down a million things. You're going to scroll down maybe 200. Mm-hmm. And most of that stuff is ridiculous or outlandish. And that's the only stuff that gets picked up. Mm-hmm. So this lady worked at Facebook, and she said that they warned Zuckerberg that, hey, man, the country's kind of getting crazy out here with this election stuff. The people who were talking about hitting the Capitol, you know, yeah, the media wants to say it was Trumpy, but Trump does not have the power to mobilize that many people at one time. He's not omnipresent. Mm-hmm. But that's the narrative that folks want to believe. But I'm telling you, it's very hard to organize a movement. Very hard to organize a movement. And like I said, it's dangerous. And we said it before. It is dangerous that you have six people that determines 90% of what you see.
Six people.
Amazon. Mm-hmm. Remember Parler?
Yeah,
Amazon
sure.
took out Parler. Amazon, Facebook, Google. When I look up something, I Google it.
Sure.
Google tells me what to see. If I say news, Google puts it in front of me. Like, we think we're all smart and independent, but really we're being hand fed like puppets. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my opinion is the same way the government broke up Bell, you know, AT&T and the Bell South and all these other things. I think these social media companies need to be broken up. I'm not saying banned. But they need to be broken up. You shouldn't have one person determining what we all see. One person should not be able to hit a button and cause a capital riot.
Wow. So you're saying break them up.
Bust them up.
Bust them up.
Bust them up.
Facebook buster.
Bust them up.
Wow.
And Mark Zuckerberg, I never really liked you anyway.
Whoa.
Because
we don't go there.
I don't like Mark. I'm going to tell you why I say that. Okay. Because if you look at how that guy started Facebook, let's keep it 100.
Okay.
That guy was paid by two Indian guys to start that company.
You're talking about the Vanden.
The two guys who hired him to start Facebook.
Sure.
He stole the company from under them. So
right.
So he's not some angel guy.
Right. Right.
I'm just calling it balls and stripes.
That's right.
Okay. I think we'll give Darren the rest of the call. the last 6 minutes. He hung up. I think I can't hear you, Tom. Okay, Darren, jump in.
Yeah, with regards to the whole social media thing, first of all, her testimony was all opinionated. Everything she said was her opinion. It wasn't even, you know, it was.
It made sense.
Huh?
It made sense.
Yeah, but it just seemed like, okay, I don't even like Facebook. I think MySpace was better. Just kidding. But the whole idea that social, he makes his money off of harvesting your data. I mean, you have no rights on Facebook as it is. And so there lies the bigger problem. Now, you want to talk about free speech and all this other, it's a platform that they own. They have a right.
I got a question for you, Darren. Remember the tobacco companies? And remember smoking doesn't cause cancer, right? And, and when they found out that smoking caused cancer, they sued the bejesus out of tobacco companies. If you have a product that's being used by kids and Facebook has data that this woman leaked, reports that they know that they were, because by law, if you are a publicly traded company, you are not allowed to withhold information. That's SEC violation. So, go ahead.
That information that she claimed, you know, Mark Zuckerberg came back out, why would we spend all this money on this information and not use it? And you know, to the credit of Facebook, they've already shown who she was. I mean, she didn't work in the fields that she claimed she had all this stuff in. She stole from the company. I think there's some liability issues.
It's called whistleblower protection.
Yeah, but it's a whistleblower that is using it for her own propaganda for their own purpose. I mean, look at who she lined herself up with. She is being used as a tool, just the same way as the lady with the Supreme Court candidate that went through.
Well, Barrett,
as soon as all this is gone, she's going to be gone.
Yeah, but you know what? I look at, based upon what this woman said, this lady didn't have a reason, in my opinion. I mean, she could have just went and sold a book and made a couple of million dollars. This lady went directly to the authorities with data, and the Democrats and the Republicans at that committee looked at what she gave them. Both is bipartisan about, you know, going after Facebook, because like I said, at the end of the day, Zuckerberg was before Congress last year, and some of this stuff came up and he denied it. So I mean,
this is a conversation that happened 5 years.
Keep going,
Darren. You got a minute. I'm gonna give you the rest of the show.
Yeah. This conversation should have 5 years.
Darren,
Facebook is on its way out. But all
you're breaking out, Darren. You're breaking up. But call back next week. We're gonna finish this conversation. I believe her. The same way they believed all those women about Bill Cosby, I believe her. I believe her. You know, you're not supposed to say women lie, remember? I believe this woman.
Anita Hill, Miss Ford.
I believe this woman. I believe that woman.
This is the one you're believing.
I believe that woman.
Just because you don't like Facebook
and
Zuckerberg.
I don't like people that destroy democracies.
Right.
I'm out. Right. Peace.
All right. Good deal.
Catch you next week.
Bye-bye.